All right. Good morning, everybody. Today is Tuesday, September 27th, 2016. And this is Before the First Cup with Jules here on UCY.TV. Happy Tuesday, everyone. It is 57 degrees and partly sunny here in upstate New York. We had rain over the last 2 or 3 days, so it was quite lovely for getting into fall mode. But I'm happy the sun is back. And it looks like it's going to be a pleasant week. So where do we leave off on Friday? We titled the show, Police Force Robots, Scanners, and Ubiquitous Surveillance. And I made a right turn last week and decided to head down the path of looking at frequencies and pulse weapons and some of the different technologies and things that they could do manipulating not only sounds, but microwaves and millimeter waves and optical. I mean, we looked at all kinds of different frequencies and different technologies that are in development right now that, I hate to say it, but many of these technologies made me just stand there with my mouth open because I had absolutely no clue that they were at the point of being that level of advanced. And I mean, we are talking even in 2009, we found a project and they're living in front of me. Twice I've tried to talk about this with somebody, and I don't remember it, but it doesn't matter. We read it back on Wednesday or Thursday. It was 2009. It was a project from DARPA that was utilizing microwaves to be able to beam audio, whether it be conversations or one-way or two-way communication. It was, of course, all in the name of the battlefield and being able to keep communication secure, but they were able to beam voices into people's heads. Now, if they're able to beam voices into people's heads, in this case, a soldier, what is it going to take to beam voices into someone's head to make them think that they're going crazy or to make them do something you want them to do? You know, we see a lot of strange things. This world is pretty upside down, and technology is a big part of why this world is upside down. And you know, after being in technology for 25 years, anyone who's about my age knows that we are that last generation that really grew up and learned without the use of technology. We did not really have it when we were younger, maybe in our teenage years. I know for me, we got our first VCR when I was like maybe 13, 12, 13, 14. But, I mean, we didn't have anything. We didn't have cable. We didn't have video on demand. We didn't have computers. You know, again, that was maybe 14. I got my first computer. But I grew up, you guys grew up, without that 24/7 connectivity, that opening of the arms to technology to make everything we do connected with technology. Now, if you look, I mean, right now, it's very difficult for me to do anything that I do for the network or even interacting with businesses or your bank or, you know, whatever. I mean, half the time, the only way to get your information is to go online. And don't think that that is going to become lessened in the future. It's going to become greater as we now have this march toward the internet of everything. Everything is going online. And if it isn't from a consumer business to business perspective, like I was saying, for like consumer banking or go to Amazon for consumer purchasing. So that's your B2C, your business to consumer. You also had your business to business. So this is where you have your suppliers for components like Foxconn. Foxconn, the manufacturer of components for Apple, who has just replaced 60,000 workers with what? Oh, robots. South Korean robots, yep. But, you know, Foxconn also works with Apple. They probably have a business-to-business, a B2B connection on the back end, so Apple can see real-time what the numbers are being produced at Foxconn so they can plan appropriately for what their release numbers are going to be. So now we have this third piece, and this is going to be not just at a cursory level, right? We always had to maintain levels of privacy. And you weren't going to give away the store. Even if you're a business-to-business friendly partner, Foxconn and Apple are two separate entities who both make their own profits on what they do. They both have their own trade secrets. So even though you were sharing information, it was only very selected information. Again, when you go to your banking institution, your bank doesn't know everything about you. I mean, I guess they could if they bought a report from Experian or something. But, you know, when you sign up for a bank account, yeah, they need your Social Security number, some sort of ID, and your address and that, basic information. But they're not invading your life to pay a few bills and put a few dollars in there. But in this future that we are seeing now, as we are connecting everything to the machine, the internet of everything, we've seen precision medicine move into this realm now. We've seen electronic medical health records moving into this realm now. It's all going to be for your own good. Your records will be available everywhere, at all times, at all hospitals, because they'll be in the cloud. So if you have an accident, Johnny, we'll be able to know if you're allergic to penicillin. You don't have to wear that pesky bracelet anymore. Don't worry about it. Just check this box. Check this box. So anytime we do a DNA swab or a blood test or whatever, and we find something about you, we put your data now into some sort of research pool. We've opened all these records up as part of this cohort program. The federal government, to be able to utilize for the good of everyone, step right up. Your data, even though it might not have your name on it, at least in this database it doesn't, we'll be able to use your data as a collective way by doing an algorithm to determine what everybody has in common and how we might be able to cure disease en masse. Wink, that's what we're telling you. But in the meantime, they're getting you to give up your most personal information, all in the name of curing disease. Next thing is going to be all in the name of authenticating to this internet of coming everything. You know, there's hackers under every bed. We found that out on Friday with police force robots. There are terrorists everywhere. And we also have cyber hackers and, oh my God, lions and tigers and bears, oh my. So we have to come up with a way to combat all of these 21st century dangers. You know, we found out in looking at these millimeter wave scanners and things of that nature, that a lot of the issues that we have today, like terror, a lot of these things, we saw them sort of evolve back around 2001, at least for this last decade and a half. And we found people who had been in our federal government supposedly keeping us safe, like Chertoff, who, when they got out of public office, found a way to capitalize on some of these technologies that they had had access to, but now are in private life. So Chertoff was the one who came out with this little company who's rolling out these microwave scanners to all the airports, the nude scanners, all in the name of keeping you safe, make sure that we don't have a terrorist with something under his clothes. We also talked about General Keith Alexander, former head of the NSA, the one who was the granddaddy of creating all of these different military-based cyber patrol attack divisions within our Department of Defense. If you ever, and I know I've mentioned this a lot of times, but I know, you know, if you haven't listen to every show, you might not have known about this. There was an expose done on General Keith Alexander in Wired magazine back two summers ago, June or July. Search Wired, Keith Alexander, and NSA. If you want a hair-raising experience to see how far our liberties have been lost, this man, his secret cyber patrol hackers working for him in every branch of the military, all in the name of tracking foreign actors who, of course, want to do bad to the United States. But don't forget, back a few months ago, maybe it was even a year ago, close to a year ago, they had merged two divisions within the NSA. They're calling it NSA 21 now. And that was the internal group, the group of the NSA that supposedly was watching whether or not we had vulnerabilities in our common software like Flash, Adobe Flash, or Apple QuickTime, you know, simple things on our desktop that might have security holes where someone could exploit it, hackers everywhere, and get into your machine. So that was your internal division of the NSA. They were making sure they kept the infrastructure of the feds. And now, of course, tech companies and businesses all over this country, they've sucked them all into that network of being a part of keeping us all safe. The NSA is butt-patting all of the big tech boys. And so are the feds. So is precision medicine. It's just gotten so dirty. They're all a part of everything. But then the other side of the NSA, the NSA 21, the yin and the yang, was the external division who looked for espionage as well as foreign actors who were looking to do damage to this country. And they've now merged these two divisions into one. So this one single super powerful NSA division now exists that not only knows all the things that are going on outside this country and things that they're trying to do in the inside of this country, supposedly, but they also know all the vulnerabilities that they are utilizing, not only to be able to go out and attack Chinese or Russian hackers' computers that you think might be hacking your DNC database, but you also can turn around those vulnerabilities to the United States and come in and look at little Johnny's history to see what he's been doing, take over his machine, and go in and look at his latest downloads. I mean, not that they couldn't do that before, but they have now put it in this one beautiful package. We're moving everyone to the cloud. We're upgrading all these devices to be able to be compatible with X, Y, and Z, the newest technology that we've convinced you that you need. Put it all up in the free storage that we offer you and use your emails on this free email that we give you. Talk to all your friends on your Facebook chat and tell them everything you're doing. Because now we have this one unified interface where any of those in charge can keep a minute-to-minute finger on what you are doing and what you might do in the future. Because as they're dragging all of these statistics into one central location, and then they're applying another of these disruptive technologies we've talked about, disruptive technologies before. Right now we have a large number of technologies coming right at us that are all disruptive. Normally you only get one or two every decade or so to turn an industry on its head. And the difference between in the past and now is that these are all coming at us at 100 miles an hour. Complete wanton lust for riches, power, fortune. Not paying attention, not caring, or maybe even by design, to what this is going to do to not only our privacy, but to our environment. And eventually to us as living organisms. And that's kind of where we have spent a lot of time, is looking at how technology is changing humans, changing the planet, how nobody's watching the store, how every minute on this planet is so beyond the danger zone that, honestly, every morning I wake up and the world is still kind of the way I remember it. I go, phew, we made it another day. Like, how is that even possible? But it's true. We have gotten so close to that edge right now for so many different things, with so many new disruptive technologies coming right in our face and nobody giving two shits about how bad it's going to screw us up, because there's always good reasons. You know, keep you safe, cure your cancer, feed the world. Oh my God, global warming. I mean, they have all these different push buttons. Johnny's got the measles. All these little push buttons to psychologically manipulate you into going along with whatever the newest narrative is. They've gotten very good at that. Don't let them do that to you. Don't believe anything just because they tell you. You know, I have to say, and I've said this before, but I'm going to say it again. I know my mother doesn't listen to the show, but there was ever one thing, despite the fact that my mother and I fight a lot, we butt heads a lot, but if I had to give my mother credit for one thing when I was growing up that she said a lot of times, and I always listened to, and it used to drive my friends crazy, and when I was in class, it used to drive my teachers crazy, is she would tell me, don't believe something just because somebody told you. Now, you have to remember, my mother was a product of being raised very strict Catholic and had the crap beaten out of her by nuns and believed every bit of what they fed her over all those years until the 60s and the 70s hit and she came to the United States and she realized that her whole life she'd been brainwashed. And I mean, she literally would call it that too when I was a kid, that she'd been brainwashed. And they used to feed her all this crap. These nuns would sell her the story, and she believed it hook, line, and sinker. And then as she started to pay attention to the world and kind of meet other people outside of her comfort zone, she realized that it had all been one big fat lie. Well, that's exactly what they're doing to us. We got to get outside of this. It's not about the technology. It's not about putting you in a database. It's not about how wonderful it's going to be able to cure Aunt Susie's cancer, or to be able to send an email 24/7 with a blink of an eye as you twitch your nose and you can type with your tongue in the roof of your mouth. You know, hey, one of these days they'll have something crazy like that. All you have to do, actually, I saw this story. This made me think of us. There was a monkey. I don't know if you guys saw that, but there was a monkey that they've been able to hook up to a brain-computer interface. And that monkey can type on a keyboard using his brain. Now, how fitting, of course, that they're using this poor little cute monkey. He can type 12 words a minute with a brain-to-keyboard communication interface. Now, they're going to sell this at Christmas time for $29.95. I can guarantee it. At some point in the future, as a cool little toy to get everyone to buy in. But we had also been reading about how much information can be given away by allowing them to read your brainwaves. Now, there was a story they had announced a while back that brain prints are just as unique as fingerprints. And as we have been digging into all these different technologies, especially with these scanners, of course, all sold to you at airports to begin with, but we had these millimeter wave scanners, and we had them using lasers. Remember that one? The laser to be able to tell from 50 meters what you had for breakfast, because it's an atomic molecular scanner that could tell substance from one single atom. We have these Skybender drones that are going to be put up to give you ubiquitous internet so you can be connected 24/7 in the jungles of Africa. What they don't tell you is that they're also utilizing other frequencies, not just the 5G, but also some of the millimeter wave. It's been used for many generations in the military for surveillance. Like, oh, I don't know, seeing through walls, doing spectroscopy. They've been using that also for a long time in the space discovery, where they utilize the millimeter wave on a telescope. And they point that toward a planet or a gas cloud. And they're able to get all the pretty colors, and each pretty color corresponds to an element. Actually, it was always my favorite part of astronomy, was doing light shifting and spectroscopy. I took a lot of astronomy classes in college. It's all physics. I don't know if you knew that, but that was why I was going to go for my physics degree as number two. But it got really hard then, and I wanted out. But I did take a lot of astronomy. I had a boyfriend, rocket scientist boyfriend back in those days, where I already had his physics degree to boot. And I had a really good astronomy professor, Dr. Brink, I remember his name was. And he had been doing it for like 30 years. We had our own big-ass telescope at the university, so it was pretty neat. But anyway, they're using the millimeter wave. They've been using it to determine minerals and elements in space for a long time. And now they are taking a lot of these technologies and they are turning them toward planet Earth. They are utilizing them to be able to breach your privacy without you even knowing it now. We found out another thing they could do with these millimeter waves is not just see through your clothes, not just tell what you had for breakfast, not just beam, and this is the microwave, not just beam voices in your head, but also they were messing around with utilizing it for detecting chemicals or biological, so it's going to be now in the name of protecting you from terror, not just scanning you, not just replacing stop and frisk, as we heard them talk about on Friday with the NYPD's new terahertz scanners that were given to them by DARPA. It's all in the name of getting rid of stop and frisk. We also found out that the mail is being scanned because we had anthrax attacks after 2001. And they are able, now with some of these new terahertz scanners, to go down 8 or 9 pages of paper scanning a book without ever opening the cover and read what's in it. And they are doing the same thing all in the name of mail bombs at the post office, scanning any suspicious packages so they could see inside and determine what you're sending. Pretty interesting. Just as we have pressure cooker bombs going off in New York City, yay, don't worry about it. We already have this new technology from DARPA all over New York that we are going to be able to mess around with, and it's been justified now. Right? We got all this crazy shit going on. But even more disturbing is at the very end, we found out that terahertz radiation, according to a study done out of Los Alamos in conjunction with a scientist from MIT, 2009, they brought up some real concerns in their research about how this terahertz radiation that's going to be everywhere. Remember, even cell phone radiation causes damage and potential cancer now. Causes brain wave issues. You know, I mean, it causes you to be influenced by an external field. You know, we talked about not just cell phones, but wireless, 802.11 wireless, your microwave frequencies, then these millimeter wave frequencies. We're being bathed in them on a daily basis. Nobody really knows what the end result is going to be because we're just pushing forward as humans, embracing technology because they told us we should. Because this is the best way for the future. This is the new economy. this is how we're going to save you. And Aunt Susie is being a part of this big machine. And as Obama announced all these initiatives over the last year, including the precision medicine and the Brain Project and who knows what else? I don't know, the antibiotic resistance. We have this big cloud computing initiative and supercomputing and AI. As the feds are investing in all these disruptive technologies to push us completely off a cliff, to replace all the jobs with robots. I don't know if we're going to make it there today, but I found some interesting stuff the other day. And we're stepping up wondering why we end up with strange illnesses. Well, don't worry, because the future is coming. Future is coming from the laboratory, as we have scientists now telling us, of course, you anti-vaxxers, don't worry about some of these synthetic virus-like particles we're putting into the vaccines we're injecting into your 10-year-old child. No. Don't worry about these recombatant vaccines, even from old school, that have SV40 in them. No, or contaminated. All kinds of other animals that shouldn't quite be in there, but don't worry, because that's how it happens when you set up a vaccine and you utilize your original strains. Don't worry that there's aborted fetus from way back when, one of these germlines. There's aborted fetus in one of the vaccines. I think it's the MMR. But don't think about how that might actually get in and integrate in your child's DNA. No. Now we have all this other great stuff coming out. We have these synlogics, biologics, genetically modified CRISPR bacteria programmed with programming language, because we know how to program cells now to be able to act and react to different things that it can biosensor inside of your body and potentially cure you as a little blood stream doctor, or maybe a gut bacteria doctor, or maybe a little brain doctor. We even read about that one where they could put little nanobodies in the brains of a patient. Then they were able to have someone on the outside use their brain waves to be able to get the bacteria, the little DNA bacterial machines that they've put into this other organism, use their mind to make it dispense medications by just thinking about it inside the target. And it's just, I know I could talk about this stuff all day and trying to explain it in a way that doesn't sound complete lunacy after we've already done it and read all of the actual research is very, very difficult to do. But trust me, people, go through the notes of the shows that I've done over the last few years. I gotta say there's 377, I think I looked the last time. Just completely unbelievable that there have been, and I didn't even archive my show for probably the first year, year and a half, because I was afraid. I didn't want to be on record talking about any of this stuff, but you know what? It's all balls out now. There's just no putting that genie back in the bottle. But there's 377 shows. I would say probably the last 2 years I've been doing the extensive notes, where I spend almost 2 hours every day after the show making links to every single thing I talk about. I go through, I listen to the show, and I find a link to a story that talks about what I talked about. They're all there. You can find it. They're out of science journals. They're out of university publications. They're out of the National Institute of Health. I'm not going to some whoop-de-doo out there blog that's known for conspiracy. Okay, we are looking at the actual published results. Now, here is something that we ran into a long time ago. So we found out they're trying to sell us all these things that are going to keep us safe, this newfangled technology that they've been putting taxpayer dollars into, and it's going to cure you now. But we found out a long time ago, there are a bunch of college students at NYU as part of a project with a professor, that they found out when they started digging that a large number of these studies that are out there potentially had issues, maybe even as far as being fraudulent. And we have this regulatory agency called the FDA. The FDA that they want to get rid of because, you know, the FDA is standing in the way of 21st century cures that Congress wants to be able to pass so it can circumvent any of the safety processes and go direct to clinical trials. Then, of course, if they have a positive income, step right up, sick and desperate. If they have a positive outcome, they'll be able to spin your story into a case study and sell all kinds of research. But we found out that a lot of the research, even if it was found to be fraudulent or potentially not 100% true, or maybe was influenced by some money on the backside or by somebody hoping to be a world leader in some new technology. Because remember, there's a lot of megalomanias. Is that how you say it? Megalomaniacs that are in all of these industries, and they just lust after power and control and money. Fast cars and hot chicks. Woo! I just saw actually at Albany State University here in New York. I had a friend who went to Albany for physics and meteorology. They're pretty prestigious school in the SUNY system. But the guy that they put in control of, like, wooing all of these different industries to Albany, which happens to be our state's capital, there's a huge corruption probe going on now between state contract. I've talked about that before, state and federal contract. We have different companies that are on this contract, and they have to set certain prices. But I guess that they had some sort of circumventing bidding thing, and he was going out getting all these tech companies to come to Albany to help them do all this crazy research, and a lot of it was in genetics and things, these labs. And now they discover that it's just corruption, major, major, major corruption going on, and it was all fueled by money and power. The guy made over $1 million a year and drove Lamborghinis and things. I don't know. They were talking about his hot cars. And he just couldn't be stopped. And, you know, sometimes people will do anything for money, and it's very disturbing, money or power. So here we have not just in one university, but in many, 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 many universities across not only the globe, but here in the United States, here in government labs, here in private institutions, here in corporate labs, nobody is watching the store. There is no overarching entity that is really looking at who is doing what. And it's all in the name of rolling out some new fangled something that might be the next big thing. Well, here we go now. Brand spanking new story. Science journalists are now suing the FDA over alleged manipulation of news. So not only is it, we found out a while back that the FDA had been allowing studies and research to be published that hadn't been fully baked, that might have had some credibility issues. And even if they had discovered it after the fact, they weren't requiring them to redact it or remove it from the scientific publication. Well, now we have science journalists suing the FDA over alleged manipulation of the news. Now, who would have thunk it? It's Orwell, 1984, happening everywhere. And one of the reasons why we have things such as UCY, guys, you know, put on your thinking hats and come do a show. That's what it's all about. Start digging and pulling a thread and uncovering this stuff. Hey, you don't have to be a movie star. But you know what? We need people to start digging into this because most people don't pay attention and they just go along with what they are told. Let's challenge people. Maybe if we beat them over the head enough, they'll start going, what? Not another one. Well, listen to this. U.S. Food and Drug Administration may reportedly still engage in banned practices that manipulates popular news coverage and a few of America's top science journalists are railing against the government organization because of it. One of them is even suing the FDA for documents related to the matter. The commotion, and here we talked about this, raised by NYU journalism professor Charles Schief in a feature story at Scientific American, and that was probably last year. It deals with the FDA's use of worrisome media strategy called close hold embargo. Selfie's NYU colleague and journalist Ivan Orensky previously detailed the matter in a series of posts at his blog, Embargo Watch. Closed hold embargoes let a select few journalists get access to newsworthy information, yet only after they agree not to contact anyone outside the organization for what? Oh, second opinions. Ding, ding. How dare you look over what we are doing here? How dare you critique whether or not what my conclusions are correct or not? How dare you criticize? I mean, I just, this grooming of the narrative, this putting everyone into compartmentalized boxes to be able to manipulate the narrative that they are feeding out to us has gotten to the nth degree. So the result of all of this, this closed hold embargoing, is that due diligence goes out a window, ding. Without the ability to contact outside experts, a bunch of stories appear in the most popular news outlets in the world all at once, yet without any independent expert voices to backstop the new information. And with the FDA, the stakes couldn't be higher. It's an organization whose decisions can determine whether a drug, a medical procedure, or a policy is safe for the public, or, of course, little mini nanobots in your blood. There's a lot of that going on right now. A lot of trials that they want to kick off. A lot of CRISPR in humans that they want to do. That FDA is the one that's supposed to be in charge. But remember, we learned it's not. They're not watching anything. So now we have these lunatics in Congress with this 21st Century Cures Act that want to just get rid of the FDA altogether. Hey, they're not doing anything anyway. So don't worry about it. We're going to let the consumer decide whether or not the risk is worth it for them to be able to take this untested technology, put it in their body, and potentially become an important figure in history as they become the first. They become the first to be cured by a nanobot. They become the first to be cured by CRISPRing. They become the first to be ones that have mind, eye blinking, keyboard typing machines embedded in their ear. I mean, who knows? There are so many of these crazy technologies right now coming out. And like I said, out of all these labs, no holds barred, nobody watching the store, all disruptive technologies, all getting ready to hit the stage. And they just want it to be a free-for-all. Says some anointed outlets who do agree to close hold embargoes do add third-party sources to their online stories after the embargoes lift, but many don't. And in that situation, the journalist is allowing his or her reporting hands to be tied in a way that they are not going to be anything ultimately other than a stenographer. Right, just regurgitate what you're told. And as a result of the uproar, the FDA officially banned this practice in 2011. But journalists noticed that the agency has secretly defied itself, surprise, in 2014 over a major announcement of e-cigarette regulation. And Steve suspects that the FDA is still clinging to closed-hold embargoes. The policy against closed-hold embargo still stands, just as it did before the last closed-hold embargo. But the smart money says that the agency's unofficial policy still stands, too. And favoritism as well as closed-hold bars embargoes continue. And it's apparently too sweet an arrangement for the FDA to simply walk away. Absent of any indications from the agency, it's anyone's guess whether the closed-hold embargo is still in use at the FDA, and if so, how frequently. But Unsatisfied with the information vacuum, Seffy says he is suing the agency for access to documents about their embargo practices. The lawsuit alleges that the FDA is unlawfully withholding information from Seffy that he requested in 2014 and 2015. And part of the haul of documents that he has asked for and received in a heavily redacted form, ding, ding, is regarding the FDA's embargoed practices. Now, wait a second. The FDA is a public institution that's paid for with taxpayer dollars, is supposed to be keeping you safe, who is doing some sort of manipulation on the backside so you don't actually get all the information and you don't get any type of peer-reviewed third-party studies. No. And when somebody sends a request for a FOIA about these practices that they supposedly ended in 2011, the gentleman gets a document that's redacted. Why would it be redacted? What kind of confidential, classified information could potentially be in it? Like, how insane is that? He gets a redacted document from the FDA about their openness policy and about how they're publishing research. Run away screaming, people, do not line up for any of this 21st century cures. That should be a red light. Boop, 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 boop. They don't want you to know what they're doing, who they're butt patting or rubbing, what kind of money is sliding between whose hands. It's very frightening. It says FOIA lawsuits take a long time to resolve, and I'd be surprised if things are resolved before mid next year, Seffy said. But right now, they are providing additional records every month. They're required to produce a few, but after that, there is an additional question of whether or not they are redacting appropriately. My view is in many cases they aren't, and we're going to have a fight over that as well. Business Insider, who was the publication that originally published the story, has contacted several officials at the FDA, Office of Media Affairs, for a response to the lawsuit, and the criticisms presented by Seffy's piece, specifically citing his assumptions that they are still using these closed-hold embargoes, but the FDA did not respond for comments. So, there you go. Who would have thunk it? But guys, what's so important about this is we're talking the FDA. The FDA that is supposed to be protecting you, me, Nana, little Susie, Johnny, from all these companies that are doing mad science gone mad without any holds, in a lab somewhere, and putting it onto the market, thinking that, you know, research has been done to tell you that there are no problems. Remember, they had some big, huge study that came out just recently saying there is no evidence that GMO have been dangerous to the environment or to people, but there is so much independent research to tell you that we have big issues with Roundup, glyphosate in the environment. There are potential issues here that we're talking about when we start looking at CRISPR and all the things. I mean, we are talking about rebuilding the building blocks of life. Well, there was a story that came out, and this is frightening, came out on Friday, titled, Monsanto Just Got Access to the World's Most Powerful Gene Editing Tool. Now, we know that there is a purchase on the plate right now. I don't remember how much the purchase was for, but it was a very large number, billions of dollars, where Bayer, the spinoff from the original IG Farben, who, yes, worked in Germany with the Nazis, doing mad science gone mad, developing things such as Cyclone B, is looking at buying Monsanto. And an announcement came out on Friday. We're waiting for regulatory approval on that. But an announcement came out on Friday that Monsanto has now acquired a non-exclusive global licensing agreement from who? Oh, MIT's Broad Institute, as well as Harvard, to use the CRISPR-Cas9 gene editing system. Now, who do we know who's involved with gene editing and MIT's Broad Institute and Harvard and CRISPR? Oh, our good old buddy, Georgie Church. Yes, good old Georgie Church. He actually comes up in this story, believe it or not. We also, way back when, read a couple articles in regards to how, we've talked about this a few times, how CRISPRing, this new gene editing technology, zipping and unzipping DNA, something, by the way, that terahertz radiation can do as well. Zip and unzip, zip, zip. Actually, I think it's just unzip, unzip DNA. We found out that this new technology utilizing CRISPR on foods is going to circumvent them having to label or tell you in any way, shape, or form that what you are eating is genetically modified. Their rationale is that an old school genetic modification, we were putting a foreign organism DNA into whatever we were splicing and dicing, whether it be like a flounder tomato so it doesn't freeze, or a flavor saver tomato, or a non-browning potato. I think that's actually CRISPR, that one they just released, or the non-browning apple. But they're going to allow them to do this because they're just going to be now manipulating the DNA of the organism, mixing around those ATC and Gs, as opposed to putting foreign DNA into the organism, which was old school. Don't worry about that. Genetic modification. And in the end, what that's going to mean is that they can make Frankenfood any way they want. They can put any type of combination of ATC and G in there to make it do all kinds of fun things. And not have to ever tell you that anything's been done to it. This is the financial terms of the agreement between Monsanto and the Broad Institute, as well as Harvard, have not been disclosed, but you can bet it didn't come cheap. The CRISPR genome editing technology is revolutionizing a number of fields. Of course, another disruptive technology, but this one is going to screw us up, guys. I'm telling you. These are the building blocks of everything alive on the planet. A, T, C, and G. And now we're going to mix them up in a Petri dish. Of course, there's not a big watchdog keeping an eyeball on this. We got the FDA who's just making their own rules. And this is happening at a global scale. We had that Adagene. We read about that non-for-profit back a while ago who let 60,000 copies of CRISPR go out to anyone and anyone who wanted them so you could splice and dice in mommy's garage. We got laboratories all over the planet, many of whom have no rules at all. Even though we pretend we have rules here, go to China. China's doing whatever their government told them to do, and it's probably all in the name of trying to find new ways to weaponize different technologies. We actually found out the gene editing and pulse wave technologies and cyber attacks and all this stuff is now considered weapons of mass destruction. This is where the battlefield is in the 21st century, guys. Double-edged sword. And the people that are in control of this technology are not benevolent dictators. Okay, so there's big, big, big dangers. Financial terms of this agreement were not disclosed, but you can bet it didn't come cheap. The CRISPR gene editing technology is revolutionizing a number of fields, making it easier for geneticists to delete or add traits to an organism, whether it be a zebrafish or a retrovirus. Yes, let's see if we could make it so dangerous it could wipe out the entire population to 99.99% accuracy, like in a gene drive. Or it doesn't matter, it could be collard greens or even a human. Let's just CRISPR the planet. CRISPR is fast and powerful and in the hands of Monsanto and now potentially Bayer. Bayer, who's connected to IG Farben, who's connected to the Nazis, Bayer. Yes. This will boost the company's ability to create seeds and crops with desirable characteristics. Yes, not those defective characteristics, such as drought and disease resistance, healthier fat contents, nutraceuticals, and added flavor. Oh, yeah, it's all about the goodness. Step right up and accept it. Or maybe it's going to be non-browning apples or non-bruising bananas. CRISPR may not be the first gene editing tool to be made available to Monsanto. No, it isn't, but it is the most powerful. Just what we want in the hands of Monsanto and Bayer. Monsanto, which was purchased by German drug and chemical maker Bayer for $66 billion last week, cannot use this technology in any way it sees fit, or at least in the front room. According to the terms of the new agreement, the company cannot conduct gene drives. Well, phew. We've talked about gene drives. A lot of the funding from the Bill and Melinda Gates Foundation in regards to mosquitoes being able to spin a genetic trait through an entire population. Remember, there are two ways you can use gene drives. One is called population suppression, like to tamp down on the numbers so they can't reproduce. And another one is called population elimination, and that is to wipe an entire species of creature off the face of the planet. So, according to the terms of this new agreement, a company cannot conduct gene drive experiments, a pending technique that would push a genetic characteristic through a wild population of animals such as mosquitoes, frogs, and weeds. And a flawed and ill-thought-out gene drive could result in unforeseen ecological consequences, which is why the practice remains so controversial. Now, how good does that make you feel? That the only thing standing between Monsanto creating gene drives to wipe out entire populations on the planet, and they make your food and your pesticides, happens to be an inked agreement that says you will not do that. These criminals don't listen to agreements like that. I mean, maybe officially, quote unquote, but in the back room, they already have access now to the technology. They've licensed it. It's like opening up the key to be able to see how it all works inside. You're not going to convince me that they're not going to take a look at how gene drives work and come up with some new technology somewhere that'll be able to do this in the back door. That's like how this CRISPR all of a sudden is circumventing any of the old school ways of genetic modification. So, you know what? Don't worry about it. We're going to do this anyway. We're genetically modifying, but we're not going to call it genetic modification. But the sad truth of the matter is, it is genetic modification. It's probably even worse than old school, because now they can make wings grow out of the back of your head if they wanted to. Says this new agreement also stipulates that Monsanto cannot use CRISPR to create so-called Terminator seeds, which are the genetic use restriction technology not allowing seeds to reproduce. This practice of creating sterile seeds, many fear that Monsanto owns a patent of this technology, will someday opt to start using it. But by creating crops that cannot naturally self-replicate and making farmers dependent on those seeds, agriculture firms like Monsanto stand to make tremendous profits. And if they turn that same technology toward humans, the practice of creating an organism that puts out sterile seeds, do you or do you not see how that could be considered population elimination? Because I most certainly can. This new licensing agreement explicitly forbids this. Well, again, whew. Finally, Monsanto cannot use CRISPR to do any work on tobacco that is intended for smoking. Now, remember, tobacco, they've already been doing genetic modifications experiments on down at Texas A&M University and DARPA. utilizing tobacco to express antibodies, all in the name of, in the beginning, it was the universal flu vaccine, and then they got into some of that Ebola stuff, and it was part of the Blue Angel program. So it's interesting that they're banning them from tinkering with tobacco, especially stuff intended for smoking. I hadn't thought about that. And this includes R&D to create tobacco plants that are more tolerant to temperature extremes or insects or to increase crop yields. So it's good to see that CRISPR's patent holders are considering the ways in which this powerful new technology could be abused. Yeah, but the fact that we are licensing it to companies such as Monsanto doesn't say much for your ethics as to who you do business with. And what's more, the new license puts restrictions on a company that has rather poor environmental and social track records, though more anti-Monsanto hysteria exists than is probably warranted, says you. Owing to a U.S. Department of Agriculture loophole, many foods produced by CRISPR will not require any regulatory approval. Ding, 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 like GMOs today do, which they really don't much either. This is because this technique does not involve the insertion of a foreign gene, like I said. It involves the deletion or modification of an existing one, and these custom-designed food products could start appearing on store shelves fairly soon without you ever knowing about it. Gene editing is a potential to bring even more worthwhile benefits. Oh, how wonderful. Given the worsening effects of global warming, like I said, all in the name of keeping you safe, our crops will increasingly have to withstand the effects of drought, heat, and pests. And thank freaking goodness now Monsanto has access to CRISPR from good old Georgie Church. But wait, the Washington Post then comes out with a story. What is the difference between genetic engineering and eugenics? Well, hey, Washington Post, good old Jeff Bezos of Amazon. Very freaking good question. Especially when we consider the connections between Bayer and IG Farben and Monsanto and CRISPR. All right, guys, make sure you stick around. It's Tuesday. Mr. Kevin Blanch is live up next and all kinds of great live radio tonight. Have an awesome Tuesday, and I will catch up with you tomorrow. Everybody take care.
My name